Good evening, everyone. Tonight's learning is sponsored by Frances Gosselin in memory of her father, Yaakov Ben Tzvi Hirsch, Zichrono Levracha, and by Cynthia Steinberger in memory of her mother, Fredel Bas Aharon, Zichrono Levracha. Yesterday, we started discussing the Shaila as to whether three people who are eating together but are eating different types of food, some of them are eating milchik, some of them are eating fleishiks, can come together to be mitzdarev lezimun. Can they together bench and recite Berachos HaMazon together with a zimun? We noted that, ordinarily speaking, the standard is you need to have at least one person that can partake in the food of all members of the Zimun. So we gave the example that was given in the Shulchan Aruch. You have a Kohen who's eating Truma or Challah, and you have two Yisraelim who are eating ordinary food. So in that circumstance, we said they can join a Zimun because the Kohen himself is allowed to partake in the food of any of the three of them. He's allowed to eat the Truma, and while it is true that they are not allowed to have his food, he is allowed to take their food. He can reach to his right, he can reach to his left, he can partake in the food of his Yisrael friends, and as a result, he kind of serves as the glue that brings together the Zimun, and therefore they can all make a Zimun together. The question became whether or not that obtains in the circumstance of some people who are eating milchiks and some who are eating fleishiks. We noted that, in theory, the person who is eating milchiks can partake in the food of all three of them because we have a principle called kinuach v'hadacha. If someone is eating milchiks, then they can wash their hands, wash out their mouth, eat something parav, all three, and then they can immediately partake in the fleishik food. So is that sufficient to serve as a tziruf of the three of them? So this is discussed by the Mishnah Berurah. If you remember, yesterday we were in Orach Chaim, Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, and the Mishnah Berurah there in Sif Katan Tes says as follows. He says, Kasvu ha-poskim, and he's referencing a comment of the Magen Avraham, Tehu adin keshe echad ochel chalav o gvina. You have one person eating milchiks, v'hashnayim pasar, and two of them are eating meat. Mitzstarvin, they can join together to create a zimun. Sha ochel gvina, hare yachol le'echol milachmam, aval pishu meluchlach bebasar, mikaneach piv v'yadichenu. Because if he does this whole process of kinuach v'hadacha that we described, he is allowed to partake in the fleishiks, and the Mishnah Berurah says, kasvu ha-poskim, again referencing the Magen Avraham, that is sufficient. Now, in Sha'ar HaTziyun, Sif Katan Yud Beis, he notes that not everybody seems to agree with this. He quotes a number of poskim who do, but he notes that there are some who don't agree with this svara per se, and don't hold that this would be sufficient in order to be mitzdarif lezimun, in order to bring everybody together. So you do have this machlokas among the poskim. Now, I'll just note, parenthetically, ordinarily we don't get into such conceptual analysis during the Bein Mincha L'Mariv Divrei Halacha. We try to keep it to narrow halacha. But this machlokas itself could actually be a very significant and important machlokas pertaining to the entire nature of kinuach v'hadacha. When we say that somebody who is eating milchiks is allowed to wash off their hands or wash out their mouth, again, engage in whatever cleansing process they need to in order to have fleishiks, how do we perceive that requirement of kinuach v'hadacha? And there are really two ways that we can think of this requirement of kinuach v'hadacha. One is that it is a halachic imperative. You are milchiks, you are chalavi, and in order to transfer, in order to make yourself parav, or in order to eat fleishiks, you need to engage in this cleaning process, which takes you out of your quote-unquote milchik status, and makes you parav so that you can then engage in eating fleishiks. That's one way of perceiving it. The other is what we would call a chashash. Technically speaking, there's no real problem with going from milchiks to fleishiks. We're just concerned that maybe something got stuck in your teeth, maybe something got stuck in your mouth, and because we're concerned about that, we need to make sure that, just as a precautionary measure, that you wash out your mouth before switching over to fleishiks. Theoretically, if we could definitively ascertain that there's nothing in your mouth, that there's nothing left, then it would be perfectly permissible for you to go from milchiks to fleishiks. But we require this, again, this cleaning procedure, just out of a chashash, out of a halachic concern, that perhaps there's something left in your mouth. And the truth is, when it comes to the topic of kinuach v'hadacha, this is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Why exactly do we need this kinuach v'hadacha? Is it because of the ta'am? There's lingering taste of milchiks in your mouth. That's what I would say is similar to approach number one, that asserts that you are milchiks and you need to engage in this process in order to remove that taste from your mouth, and then you can eat fleishiks. Or alternatively, is it just, like we said, a chashash? It's just a concern that perhaps there's some residue of your meal that's still remaining in your mouth because you didn't floss and brush in between, and therefore, because of that concern, you need to clean out your mouth before eating fleishiks. But in theory, if we could definitively determine that there was no milchiks in your mouth, then you'd be able to go immediately to fleishiks. Now, I say that could be significant here because if we would assert that, let's take the latter approach, that it's merely a chashash, it's merely a concern that you might have something left in your mouth. But if you didn't have anything left in your mouth, you'd be able to eat fleishiks right away. Then would you be able to be mistarif lezimun? Almost certainly yes, because in theory you're saying that this person is really allowed to have everybody's food. He's allowed to have his melchiks, and he's immediately allowed to proceed afterwards to everybody's fleishiks as well and partake in that also, as long as, again, we just have this concern that maybe there's some melchik lingering in his mouth, but fundamentally, conceptually, he's really allowed to partake in the food of all three of them, and therefore he would serve as a mitzarev lezimun. He would be able to bring the three of them together. Whereas, if you asserted that you really need the formal process of kinuach v'hadacha in order to make him parav, in order to remove his milchik status, then we might say that at the point that all three of them are eating, they can't really all join together. Yes, he can engage in this process that will subsequently enable him to eat everybody else's food, but right now, as he stands ba'asher husham, he's not really capable of having food of all three, and perhaps that underlies the machlokas among the poskim. Of course, just very quickly, you do also have a pragmatic consideration. One can claim that's all very nice lumdos. Pragmatically speaking, it's not so difficult for the person to wash out his mouth and to eat from everybody else, and one might claim that that pragmatic consideration itself is sufficient to bring all three of them together. But in the end, you do have this machlokas. Now, how do we paskin? We tend to paskin lekula, that they can join together in a zimun, and that would resolve the issue in many circumstances. But you still do have this this lingering debate as to how exactly it should be conducted. And we will see Be'ez Hashem tomorrow that there are many circumstances. The most common circumstance, you could actually circumvent this machlokas entirely, and you can ensure that everybody is able to bench together the chol hadeos, according to all opinions, in many circumstances. And we'll go through some of those scenarios that come up Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. Rabbi Chanan.